Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pivotal Change. I'm your host, Ryan Kahn with CS Business Consulting, and this is a show all about leadership, entrepreneurs, business executives, and people that have influence or just want to grow their influence, and how they can make those couple of steps or those pivotal changes that are going to help them down their journey to success. We've got a very special guest with us today, Ryan Bates. He's a former Navy SEAL. Now, this is a man that knows the definition of resilience, precision leadership. He is now transitioning to being an entrepreneur, and he is leading multiple companies that are just thriving, multi-million dollar businesses, including Trident Wholesale Supply, Canoe Club USA, and Gordon Imports. His companies deal in all kinds of things like small arms and ammunitions, import exports of ITAR regulated products, a lot of really exciting stuff, and he has a lot to share with us about being a better leader, entrepreneur, and father and husband, of which he is very devoted to those as well. Ryan, thank you so much, and welcome on the show.
How's it going?
It is going well, sir. And I know you're on a job site. You're a man like me that's constantly on the move. And what I want to do is I want to dive into your transition from your elite level of military service into business and leadership, and get from you some of those powerful lessons that we can apply to everyone that's out there in the grind trying to make it go. So I guess my first question for you is going to be, in your time in the SEALs, how did that shape your leadership style, and how does that carry over into running a business and leading at home?
Well, I think the teams teach you more just, you know, they teach you resilience and being tough, but actually thinking outside the box. It was my last year in the teams in 2010. We came back from Afghanistan, and we got through some person, they hooked us up with doing a VIP security gig with Monster Energy, and we ended up doing it. And afterwards, the owner of Monster at the time, Mark Hall, was asked us, who are you guys? What company? You do such a great job. And so I didn't have a company yet. I just said, here's my number. I'll get you my company information in the next couple of days. And then fast-tracked an LLC and made a company real quick to start that. So I don't think, like, getting into entrepreneurs, it's like a lot like being in the teams, thinking outside the box. Not really. I never went to school for any of it or anything like that. Just figure out something needs to get done, and then figure out how to do it and get it done.
I really like what you're saying is thinking outside the box is that most people would have probably, like a robot, been like, well, I don't have a business. This is just me and my buddies doing a side gig. But instead, you capitalized on an opportunity. You relied on your, probably some of your training, your stress inoculation to say, hey, don't panic in an I don't know scenario, and let's just go ahead and stick a pin in it and get this guy the information he wants. Let's create the company he needs and then rise from there. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I always compare entrepreneurship to jumping out of an airplane and building your parachute on the way down. Yeah, pretty much. And you know, you're your own boss. You work twice as hard as you do when you actually work for somebody. But I love it. You know, I'm a workaholic anyways. So is my wife. So yeah, we ping ideas off each other. You know, that led from that. We had that contract for about 5 years, and then I went to protecting Steve Wynn, a billionaire, for about a decade. But in the middle of that, while protecting him, I used his mass enterprise to learn how to do hospitality, and ended up building two restaurants, bar and restaurants, from scratch, and turning those into the highest grossing bar and restaurants in Eastern Washington. So I'm always, even when I'm working another job, I'm working two other jobs, you know, always going after it every way possible and taking every opportunity I can.
I love that. I like that you said the words, I'm taking every opportunity that I can. I'm always going after it. And you're giving us the truth behind entrepreneurship is, you know, somebody that's running multiple companies, you're not working for someone else, but you're working twice as much. And that may even be an understatement, truly. And I appreciate the fact that you're, in passing, you're saying that I am gleaning from other experts in their field. I am gleaning from every exposure and relationship that I build so that I can apply it someplace else and really model that wisdom that entrepreneurs have to have. You also mentioned jumping out of an airplane and building the parachute on the way down. That is a pretty high stress, under pressure type of situation. So my question is going to be about leadership under pressure. You have people that have never been in law enforcement or the military, and even in those branches have never really been in huge high-stress situations potentially. How do you get somebody to learn to lead under pressure and then manage a work-life harmony so that they can keep their discipline on track, they can transition through life the right way through marriage and kids and growing kids? Tell us about your story and how you've modeled some of that.
Discipline's a huge part, right? When you're your own boss, you know, it's up to you to make your schedule, when to work and when not to work. Obviously, there's times when I pretty much overwork and I have to step back and also look at the other parts of my life with family and hobbies, and you got to have a well balance. If you overwork too much, you actually kind of hinder yourself of coming up with new ideas. So, you know, to spend your time with God, with family, and balancing, you'll actually become more successful doing that. But again, too, being your own boss, you have to set your own. No one's telling you to wake up. Nobody's telling you when to go to work. When no one's telling you when to stop work either. I like it that way. I don't like working for anybody. I've worked for people before, and you know, I like working at my own pace and being able to accomplish goals and crush any opportunity I have. I always look at another thing too, kind of a saying I tell myself. I pick opportunity over passion and bring my passion to the opportunity. Mm. So, a lot of people will get so focused on, I don't know, being a dentist or doing something where they pass up opportunity where they can make three times the money. And if they bring that same passion that they're bringing to that opportunity that they have for their other opportunity, they'll end up capitalizing even quicker.
I love what you're saying. This is, I've said it in a different way. I think yours is really well articulated, is that people always ask me, I work with a lot of youth and young entrepreneurs, and they're saying, well, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in business or with my life. And I say, you don't have to find something and then learn to be an expert, learn to develop the niche in that field, and the passion will come. And then the other, the fire that burns inside of you, you can apply that to anything and make it successful. And once it's successful, you're going to be passionate about it. So I really like how you're saying, put your passion towards the opportunity. And I think that's really well said, and something that a lot of entrepreneurs, and old and young, both need to hear that. And then the other thing you said that really sparked me was that I like to work at my own pace. And what that means, I think most people would hear that and say, oh, I want to slow down and take my time, and I want to be able to sleep in or work late or do whatever it is. Most entrepreneurs want to work at their own pace because it's 2 and 3 times that of their peers and contemporaries. I want to work at my own pace because I don't want somebody else slowing me down. Do you find that to have a little bit more weight to it?
Yeah, I have a good example of this. So when I was working, doing that executive protection, I'd do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So at the same time I'd do the 2 weeks on, after I get off, I'd go back, run my bars. Obviously we had 60 employees and we had a pretty good well-oiled system. We had our son, obviously, late nights at restaurants are not good for family life. So I ended up selling them and making a pretty good profit. Well, the person I was protecting was so impressed by it, he brought me into his corporation as a director and started learning every portion of his business. What I didn't like about working for a corporation vice being an entrepreneur is when I see something that needs to be fixed, I fix it quick, move on to the next situation. A lot of times with corporations, there's a lot of red tape. It takes a long time to change things. And that's one of the reasons I just never found it. If I see a problem, I fix it there, boom, next problem, keep going and move quickly and efficiently. And a lot of times, and when you work for the man, you're at his pace, and I just never like that, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, is that one of my pet peeves that I impart to other people is procrastination. And I'm just like, guys, just get it done. Just dedicate the resources necessary to accomplish this task, knock it out, and move on to the next task. And a lot of people want to overthink or underplay the seriousness of it or go right up to that deadline. Who cares about deadlines? Get it done now. And the deadline's not an issue, you know? And I agree. I've worked with large corporations, and man, I tell you what, I don't enjoy brief moments of working with corporations. The other 98% is miserable. So that's really good. So let me ask this question. This will be kind of the last question for this segment here. How do you approach your personal growth now? Because you've told us a lot about the business development, the sale of the restaurants, things like that. How do you get your personal growth and development when you're doing all of these things? Like, what are your daily habits? What kind of mindset do you carry on a daily basis? Did it come from military training? Tell us how you make time for those things as well.
So I think military training, yeah, at least in the SEAL teams, the SEALs don't like train you per se. They find the people that will not quit and just have a huge resilience to never quit. And then they teach you tactics, right? Every SEAL is an alpha in his own. None of us are alike. We all got our own thing. And when you go to war, we all have a seat at the table, which is a lot different than other forces, right? Most forces listen to their sergeant and do what their sergeant says. Well, in the teams, you know, you're with an 8-man crew, everybody's coming and planning that op, and everybody's taking a piece, everybody has their input, you know? So I guess in the SEAL teams, you're not really military, if that makes sense. You know, we don't have good grooming, we don't salute, we don't do anything, we just get the job done. And so I think that was always in me. The teams just showed you that was in you. And it's through selection and going through all your different selection courses, you come out with the cream of a crop of just independent alpha thinkers. And most guys, when they get out of the teams, they go to their corners of the world and they're successful in their own ways. I've got guys that are astronauts, guys that are doctors, guys that are million-dollar entrepreneurs, and we all keep that brotherhood. And we're all kind of alphas even when we get into the normal world again. Very rarely do you find SEALs when they get back into the normal world that they're not successful in being a civilian too.
That's good. It's actually a good spot. No, you answered a great question that was needing answered. This is a good spot for me to put a pin in everything, and we're going to come back right after this commercial break with more Pivotal Change. So sit tight, we'll see you in just a moment. Welcome back from the break. And if you love what you're watching, you don't have to miss a moment of Pivotal Change now or ever, because it is now on Now Media TV, live on demand, streaming anytime, anywhere. You can download the free Now Media TV app. It is available on Roku or iOS. You can enjoy instant access to full lineup of our bilingual programming. It's both English and Spanish. And if you prefer to just listen on the go and can't watch, catch the podcast version. Again, that's Now Media TV on the website, nowmedia.tv. This is our Business to Breaking News Network, and now we're going to continue on with Ryan Bates and our Pivotal Change broadcast. But again, you can catch us 24/7 anywhere. So Ryan, just a quick recap. We were talking about kind of your journey through the SEALs and the teams and the military impact that it had and how you were able to grow dynamic businesses. You've built and bought and sold companies, and you're running several now, largely in imports, a little bit of retails, and you're on a construction site right now. But I want to focus a little bit more on the human side of leadership. That's what we were getting into. And we know that above probably all other people on Earth, SEALs are resilient, they embrace discomfort, and they can apply things like tactical lessons, battlefield strategy, and how to organize logistics. So we're going to maybe move into some of those categories here in just a second. So welcome back from the break, sir.
How's it going?
That's good. So we're going to try to not delay your construction. And kind of one of the first questions I want to get back into is, it's obviously vital to build relationships, both in the military and in business. So what relationship building principles did your SEAL team experiences guide you in, and how have you used that to develop teamwork in your companies?
I don't know if the teams really, I'd say relationships is networking, right? You're obviously working with special forces of different kinds. You know, a lot of times we're doing work with everything out there, from Green Berets to Polish Grom to everything. So you're always working with different forces. Networking or relationships is really important in kind of entrepreneuring, because it kind of comes back to that same saying that I said, opportunity over passion, and bring your passion to the opportunity. Well, when you network and talk to different people from different businesses, there's so many different ways to make money out there, right? A lot of people get focused on a certain thing, or even making money in itself. Money just gives you freedom to do other things. But networking and talking and constantly asking questions to other people not only helps you learn in your own business, but also it opens your eyes to other opportunities out there. So networking is probably one of the biggest things in any kind of entrepreneurial that you're doing.
I really like that, opening the door to other opportunities. If you can actually take an interest in somebody, ask them questions, learn more about them and their industry, what they do and don't do, you're starting to open a door and be able to form that relationship. Let me kind of spin back to something you said in the first segment about, you know, let's say you have a team of eight guys planning an operation. All eight have a seat at the table. I'm sure at some point there was a disagreement about how a tactic or some type of scenario should unfold. If you don't have a relationship with all eight of those members around the table, how much does ego get in the way, or somebody's experience versus reputation have to play with it? Where does the relationship component come in that one? And how do you work through maybe some friction when there's all high-level people seated at the table?
Well, it kind of comes back to respect and also respecting your trade, right? If you're not a good operator, you don't get a seat at the table. And there are SEALs that aren't good operators, you know, and they don't get a seat at the table. Most of us, though, through constant deployment, showing every person, getting respect from that person, they're going to take your pick your advice or take what you're saying in. As in the teams, it's kind of we eat our own. If you're not a tough dude that's putting range time down and a good operator, you're not going to be on the ops, you know. But if you're on the ops, you're respected by everybody that's there, or you wouldn't be on that op. Obviously, as a new guy, you're proving yourself that whole time. You don't really get to say too much, but on your second, third, fourth deployments, and you're a good operator, you have to respect everybody at the table. And that comes from being on point and working hard and not being a pussy, you know, pretty much.
So let me ask this question. Is it fair to say that if you are not a contributor, you don't get a say?
If you're not a contributor, you get sent home. And there are SEALs that get sent home. Like if you're not down and you're not putting your time in and freaking, you know, there's guys out there in every forces that, you know, get lazy, let their fitness go, aren't motivated, not showing up, ready to operate. And those guys get pushed to the side and they don't go on ops, you know? So, and then also you get, depending on what war you're in, you get pulled onto more ops if you're a good operator. So, you know, I was a sniper my last 5 years in, I was a good sniper. And so I'll get pulled onto other people's, operations just because of that. So and most team guys, most SEALs have that mentality. Probably a small percentage are not, and you'll see them. They'll come in for a little bit and then get out quickly because they don't have the respect of the guys.
Yeah. So yeah, they, like you said, you eat your own. That usually the contributors, the people that are valuable, willing to continuously put in the work, they continue to have a seat at the table. The other people, they get flushed out. So. It sounds like the person that wants to be there, that wants to contribute, that wants to do that, they're willing to do hard things all of the time and maintain their discipline. And maybe not so much in the words of do the hard things, but how would you believe that consistently facing challenges and building traits benefits all areas of like business and family and personal and spiritual growth? Do we have to just tackle what life brings us, or do we have to seek out doing hard things?
That comes to your discipline, right? Discipline is doing things that you don't want to do, but doing it like you like it. So, you know, there's times I don't want to get up in the morning or make a call, or, you know, maybe a couple of my employees are sick. I got to get down, and freaking offload, you know, 40,000 pounds of ammo. You know, you got to fill in the holes and not complain and get it done. You know, my wife, I have to be careful about this because, you know, my wife's an entrepreneur herself. She's very successful. She has a company called Salty Honey. Started with 12 grand. It's going to do her 3 million this year.
Nice.
But women are a little bit different. My wife says I can live in misery forever. And so I have to understand that obviously in your relationship, you can't work too much and you got to, you know, pull back a little bit to keep that family. Happy wife, happy life. That makes sense.
It does. But, it does.
So and you know, also success. A lot of us look at success as starting a business and, you know, you know, making money, right? But there's a lot of different kinds of success. Success in your relationship, success in your children, you know, stepping up and being good kids, you know, success with God. You know, there's there, and all those things play a factor about being overall successful. So some people get focused on, I got to make money, I got to make money. But if usually if you have all your discipline in line with your family, your children, your work, your fitness, your health, success will come in business too. And money will come regardless of what you do, you know. So, you know, a lot of people, like, I don't drink alcohol. You know, I used to do it in the teams a lot, but I don't do a lot of that stuff. And that also, that comes to contribute to your health and fitness and keeping a square mind. You'll be surprised on how many opportunities come align that you could pounce on.
Gotcha. So you're telling me that if I keep my marriage in line and have a healthy relationship with my spouse, I keep my relationship with my kids in line and have healthy children and healthy relationships, same with my neighbors, my community, and my church, that will promote me reducing distractions and being able to focus on a business that makes money. Those types of things and the discipline will produce the ultimate success that we might be programmed to think about?
Yes, 100%. And it's weird. I always think about good energy. You know, you keep yourself disciplined in line, good things come to you. And you're also in the position where you have the right mindset when that opportunity does come along, that you pounce on and crush it to the highest ability. So, you know, I might 10 years from now, I might not be into import exports at all anymore. I might be into something completely different I don't know about yet, you know? Yep. And sorry, are you guys there?
Yep, we're here. Yep.
Yeah, for instance, all the profit that I make a lot of times,
we lost you this for a second. Tell us about the profit that you make all the time. All right, so we're gonna keep that there. He's having some network issues, but I want to point back out kind of what he was saying is that he is creating this four-sided shape to where he can influence people's life. He's focusing on his family, his relationships, his spiritual, his skill, and his, all of these growth areas, so that he can take that profit and he can do something beneficial with it. So Ryan, tell us what you're gonna do with that profit again.
So a lot of times, like every profit that I make from importing, exporting, I end up putting into a lot of real estate. We're building a 75-plex right now. We own countless fourplexes. You know, providing passive income is really the key to financial wealth. And obviously, the more passive income you have, the more things you can do and with your family and not be so stressed in life. So I focus on a lot of passive income adventures. Obviously, I have my day-to-day work with ammunition, guns, import, exports, but a lot of that goes to, I live under my means, and a lot of that money goes to passive income. Over the next 10 years, we'll be in a position where, honestly, we're there now, really. We don't have to work as hard as we need to, but I also look at the future of my kids, and, you know, I grew up not that wealthy, and I would like, you know, when my kids get my age, that they have something to inherit that they can keep prolonging, if that makes
that's
sense.
Awesome. No, that makes perfect sense. And that's a great spot for me to jump in. We got to cut to another commercial break. But if you guys are listening to these wise words, he is setting up not just his future, but the future for his family and his kids, because he's living under his means and he's obeying all of these discipline templates, these discipline procedures, and he's making them a part of his daily life. Sit tight. We'll be right back with more Pivotal Change right after this. I'm Ryan Kahn, and you're back for the second half of this episode of Pivotal Change. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we are still talking with Ryan Bates. And if you haven't learned anything yet, this is a guy that knows how to juggle everything life throws at him and make the best of every situation. So we're going to continue this conversation. We were just talking about all kinds of personal development and discipline and focusing on all those areas of life so that you can have real success, which is all the health and wealth of family and passive income and things that lead you to freedom. So Ryan, continuing on some of those things, I am sure in your life, both as an entrepreneur and in the service, you met some unpredictable times or some real high pressure environments. What is maybe a real quick breakdown? What is something that an entrepreneur can do if they find themselves in an unpredictable situation or a high pressure environment in business to survive and win through that scenario?
Well, every stressful kind of situation, whether you're in war or business or anything like that, right? It's an opportunity to change the course of it, right? So just because, you know, something, you know, goes the wrong way, it's a great opportunity to capitalize on that situation. I try to look at every good or bad situation as a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if, you know, something gets delayed, yeah, a better opportunity to maybe work on something else. So, and that's also what I look like in war too. You know, you're constantly, nothing ever goes the way you want it to an op. It always is different. And you have to stay on your toes and look at that and be able to shift gears and reset and then re-tackle and crush it all.
I like that. I like that a lot. Use it as an opportunity. I love what you said, especially as a business entrepreneur. Oh, something got delayed. Well, I can keep working on this other thing that I've been pushing off or wanting to get to. And that's really important stuff. So that's a real quick little mechanism that you guys can plug into your life to be more successful in those areas. So now I want to kind of talk about some of the passions that you have in your life. We've talked about off camera, so if we've gotten to know each other, you've got things like your Netflix TV show going on. You've got your son who's really just taken off and on fire in wrestling. You've got your wife's business that's exploding. So how do you take your passion, like you were talking about at the very beginning of the episode, and it's been there for wrestling forever, and how do you take what you've learned in wrestling, what you're teaching your son in wrestling, and apply that to your leadership style, your company culture, and your just lessons in life? What does wrestling and wrestling coach have to do with you and business experiences?
I am always a big believer that wrestling is the greatest, toughest sport out there, right? It's all on your own. You have to be self-disciplined, whether your weight, your training. It's only going to get as good as you put into it, pretty much, or it's only going to be as good as you the time you put into it, right? So obviously I started wrestling at a young age, 6-7 years old, and it's pretty much the main sport I did all the way through. Even in the SEAL teams, they did a study around my class around 251, 254. They did a test on what kind of sport, people that did a sport for a long term, what is the best sport to get through Bud's training, which we have like a 90% attrition rate. And the first was being a wrestler, not just a wrestler that wrestled a couple years, but people that wrestled from a young age all the way through. I think they had some kind of like crazy, like 80% success rate getting it through Bud's. And then that showed you, I mean, even Dan Gable says, you know, once you've wrestled everything in life is easy after that, you know? But again, I just think the sport of wrestling is just such a gnarly sport. And the thing is, there's no money in it, right? So anybody that's wrestling, they're doing it because they love it. And it's not like they're going to be a rich baseball player afterwards. So, but I definitely think it teaches you the best lessons and in life about resilience, hard work, and self-determination and dedication to something.
Yeah, I love that. And those lessons carry you throughout life, and every difficult thing that you're going to encounter in life, wrestling is going to have a deep part of your core that's going to lead you through that. I've got a little saying that says, you know, wrestlers and Christians make the best kind of people. Now imagine if you're both. So you can be a solid, persevering person on the faith and in the physical world, and your mindset leads you through all of that. So I really appreciate those comments. And so I'm just thinking to myself, is let's say we've got somebody in the audience that's 25 years old. They're out of high school, out of college. They've never wrestled a day in their life. They might be 55 or 65 years old, and they've never wrestled a day in their life. I was like, well, Ryan, I can't go back and be a wrestler. Is there something else I can do to try to ingrain some of what you're talking about into me? Something like getting into jiu-jitsu or another type of combat sport that can, even late in life, develop some of these core characteristics?
I think, you know, push yourself, right? Do any kind of sport that makes you, I guess, in a way to say, miserable, right? You know, something that you're so tired, you don't want to do it, but you do it anyways, and you do it like you like it. You have to pick something that pushes you to that level, whether it be even if you go in the SEAL teams do the same thing. You don't sleep for 6.5 days during Hell Week. Put yourself, when you're young, put yourself in miserable situations that pushes your mind and spirit and determination to accomplish it. As you get older, the less physical we can be because we actually start breaking. But when you're young, do some marathons, do some crazy expeditions that push your will to the end. That in turn will put a deep kind of toughness in you to get through any crappy situation.
Yeah, I like that. So, in talking about the things that are going to build the core mindset, the core resilience, things like that, go put yourself in uncomfortable, miserable situations, one that obviously are survivable, and you're going to have to hold yourself accountable to finish so that you can develop that grit. So, that seems to be more of what I would maybe, it's definitely not a soft skill, but it's a soft skill as far as like there's not a specific, there's not skill sets and there's not a book, a manual you can open and learn resilience. You have to go get the exposure to it. But there are other things
Yeah,
in
it's like
life. Yeah, go ahead.
like being comfortable, being uncomfortable,
Absolutely.
right? I always say if you bring yourself to misery and you're used to that misery, then you can climb to a whole different type of misery afterwards. If you're comfortable with staying in bed till 8 o'clock and or 10 o'clock in the morning and freaking drinking beers and freaking never pushing yourself, then you get comfortable with that, right? If you start waking up at 4:30 in the morning, doing a chili dip, running 5 to 8 miles, you get comfortable with that. Then now you can go to a whole different level.
Comfort is the enemy of progress, that's for sure. So
Yes.
get uncomfortable, my man. Get uncomfortable. So there's not necessarily a manual for getting uncomfortable, but things that there are some manuals, some SOPs on are things like tactics and strategies and logistics. So transitioning over to things that have more of what I would say a regimented background on it. Can you explain to us just real quick in the military, what's the difference between it, like battlefield strategy, having tactics, and then just overall logistics and things like that? And how does that thinking go from, we're not exposing ourselves to the grit anymore, but we're exposing ourselves to the goals, the action plans, and those three categories of strategy, tactics, and logistics?
Well, you're gonna, in any kind of special elite group, they don't have some kind of secret sauce of what makes them more elite. They're just masters of the basics, right? So we train three times as much as we do. For instance, we do about a year and a half of training for every 6 months of deploying, and we train and train and train like crazy. So that way, when you get into the heat of things, you're not thinking, you're just doing. And that's what sets any kind of a elite special forces apart from just conventional forces. So mastering the basics, understanding what you're going to do, then when you go plan an op, and again, as I say, every op never goes the way it should, ever. And you have to fall back to those basic tasks that you are experts on. It flows. And just so master the basics. And if you master the basics, then everything else will be okay.
I love it. I can't tell you how much this is preached, both again in wrestling, in business. So, if we have an SOP, we have a standard workflow. Guys, master the workflow, stick to it, be the most efficient and effective as you can at that workflow. Then, when something crazy ups, you'll be able crazy happens and comes up, you'll be able to default and you'll have it. In the tactical world, there's a saying that says, you never rise to the occasion, you fall to the level of your training. So if you have mastered the basics and mastered other elite skills, well, then you're going to fall to a pretty high level to overcome it. And in business, it's you never rise to the occasion, you fall to the quality of your systems and operations. How do you feel about that?
Exactly. I mean, I don't think, it's funny because even in when I every firefight that I've got into, right, you don't really even understand what you did till the firefight's over. You don't even really know that you're even nervous. You fall to your basics, you get through a boom, 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 then afterwards you're like, fuck, that was crazy, and it's all muscle memory, right? So everything that you've trained and not taking any shortcuts, those all come in handy when the bullets really start flying.
All of those shortcuts are revealed real quick under crisis, aren't they? the guy that can't go the last 30 seconds of a match and loses because he took shortcuts in conditioning. The guy that can't survive during COVID because he didn't set his principles in place and he didn't train his staff the right way and he didn't pivot properly. And the guy in a firefight that took shortcuts and can't do an emergency or tactical reload and send that suppressing fire down range to move his unit forward. All of those shortcuts come in at the worst time possible. Quit taking shortcuts. That's excellent.
You end up dying in war if you take shortcuts.
Yeah. Thankfully, the entrepreneur, in most cases I know, they're not playing for life and death. They're playing for the financial futures and freedoms, and you can cripple a whole lot of families and of all the people that rely on you, the staff and their families, if you screw up. But there's a whole different level of stakes, and we need to take serious things seriously.
Yeah, but if you look at that urgency you have when you do have to fight for life and death, if you take that same kind of urgency to entrepreneurship, that the stakes, and you look at it with those same stakes, you're usually pretty successful.
I'd say you're usually pretty successful. Good. Well, Ryan, this is a good spot for us to jump in. I got to cut to yet another commercial break. But guys, we're going to be right back with more Pivotal Change. So sit in your chairs, keep your pen and paper out, and keep taking the notes. We'll be back right after this. We are on the downhill slide as far as it goes with the ending this episode, but we are not over with all of the amazing content and wisdom. So I really hope that you love what you're watching. And again, you never have to miss a moment of this show because you can always go and find us on nowmedia.tv at the website. You can find us live on demand. You can download us on the Now Media TV app. We get it on Roku, on Amazon, on iOS. You can find us on YouTube and anywhere else. It's bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. And here's the great part. Sometimes you just can't watch. You're either at work or you're driving. It's just not safe to do it. Download the podcast version. Again, that can be found at nowmedia.tv. And you're going to get everything you want, from business to breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between. So stay tuned with Now Media TV 24/7 wherever you are. So Ryan, let's keep talking about some of this heavy hitting stuff we were talking about. We were talking about life and death and going forward in life and tackling your business and the importance in your relationships, like it is life and death, like there is a crisis and the stakes are really high. And if you handle it in that capacity, you're bound to be successful. So can you expand on that thought just a little bit as far as, is there a way a person can develop that mindset instead of just hitting an imaginary light switch and saying, I'm gonna take everything serious now? What can they do to develop this in themselves? Is there a way they can train themselves to take things more seriously and approach it all with that same critical mindset?
Well, it all comes down to urgency, right? So if you think about it, you're a young adult until you're like, you know, young 30s, and you're trying to wind down by the time you're 60. So you roughly about have 25, 30 years to really make an impression on this world, right? So you're not gonna live forever. You know, the big thing is procrastinating. And the reason why you don't procrastinate is because you think you have time. You don't have time. So get it done quick with urgency. And don't wait like it's gonna come tomorrow. You gotta do it now. Every second matters. And the longer you wait, the less successful you'll be.
I like that. The longer you wait, the less successful you'll be. Understand the urgency. You know, something that kind of makes me think about that, there was probably an Instagram reel or something that popped up, and it was parenting advice. And it said, you only have X number of Saturdays left with your kid, right? And so I looked at that and I said, holy cow, that's serious. I take my time with my family really darn serious. I'm a highly involved parent. But I was even just like, man, I've only got, you know, one fall break, one spring break, one Christmas break left with my son who's a senior. So yeah, we're gonna hit it hard. I've been hitting it hard for years and we have an incredible relationship. But if you don't step back and reflect on how much limited time you actually have, like you were saying, that it's gonna be real hard to take it seriously and urgently if you're not aware of how that time is. Can you tell me a little bit about concentrating on short-term versus long-term goals and the importance there as far as, like, you know, urgency of overall urgency and overall picture versus the short term, getting it done today, or what's important, how to balance short-term satisfaction with long-term goals?
Well, one thing I do is I write everything down, right? So, you know, you have your long-term goals written down, and when you, not just written down, when you want to accomplish them by, and you think on that every day, right? Yep. And then every night before I go to bed, like if I don't write down my goals I have to do tomorrow, I can't sleep. You start thinking about them nonstop. So at night, just take 5 minutes, write down all the goals you have tomorrow and then that week. And then also just reflect on the goals you have long-term and keep thinking them and keep looking at them, keep nonstop, doing everything you can to get to those goals, and it'll get there. And also positive, I know positive talk, everybody kind of looks at it and they're like, oh, does that really work? It does. You know, if you say and you look in the mirror every day, like, I will accomplish this, I will get this done today, I'll get this done this week, I'll get this done this year, and this is where I want to be, and you constantly tell yourself, your mind, you'll trick your mind into doing it.
Yep.
It's weird. It really does. And that happened even when I was in the, going through buds in the SEAL teams. Like I didn't understand why people would quit. And I would look at myself in the mirror every morning, like, I will not quit. I will crush it. And not one time did I ever even think about quitting. And, so positive talk, writing down your goals and going after them every day.
I like that so much. I encourage people to write down their goals and put them in highly visible places and set reminders on your calendars. We have so much technology. There's no excuse for you not lifting up your phone and saying, hey, so-and-so, and then putting a note or a reminder in your phone that says, check on your goals, check on the progress, check this done. And I do something for me. I hate sticky notes. I think they're an eyesore. So I put all my short-term goals on sticky notes because I have got to check those suckers off and I got to get that ugly sticky note out of the way. And they're in highly visible places, like right above my keyboard or literally on the monitor next to me. And I know I've got to get that done by the end of the day. That stupid sticky note is still going to be there in my short-term goals. And then my long-term goals, I'm already always measuring up. Hey, this decision I'm about to make, is this getting me closer to that vision or is it a derailment? You know, and I think you're doing the exact same thing and you're doing it so much. You have trained yourself to do these goals that something doesn't feel right. You can't sleep at night. Maybe there's even a pit in you can't stop thinking about it because I did not do the habit that I have formed and now I feel off. So I like that a lot. And I'm really curious
go ahead. One thing that I did is I write it on the mirror in front that I go up in and brush my teeth. And like one thing, I want to own 100 doors. Yeah, that's what I want, 100 doors. I wrote that probably 5 years ago. And probably in the next year, it'll be done, so.
Awesome. That's a big deal, man. People, if you're not in the real estate world, you don't understand what it means to own 100 doors. That's a big deal. Ryan's developed quite the passive income. So that's pretty fantastic. I like that a lot. So that was actually going to be kind of one of my questions is about, you know, how do you visualize literally, not in your brain visualize, but see your goals and you literally put it in front of your face. You can't look at your face without looking at your goals. Think about that, people.
Yeah.
So what happens if there's a little bit of change that has to go on? What if a construction project falls through because, who knows, the contracting company goes belly up or the land gets moved into some type of government lease, whatever. Make pretend scenario, but you must now pivot some of your plans. How have you developed or trained yourself and your people, your company, to pivot, to make these rapid changes and evolve with crisis?
Well, it's funny that's happening right now. I have a big plumbing crisis right now that my plumbers screwed up pretty bad, and I was paying them a pretty good bid, and now I have new plumbers coming in and to redo it because I just said get off the job done. I'm actually saving money with these new plumbers coming in, so again, just another opportunity popped up, and I end up crushing it. It's probably going to save me about 30 grand. So
that's awesome.
This is good.
So another opportunity. That's exactly right. You got an opportunity. It's going to work for the better. And who knows, maybe this will be a new network where you can rely on these plumbers all the time. So yeah, don't be afraid to explore those opportunities and pivot. We had the exact same thing on a much smaller scale. My residential plumber at my house had the exact same situation happen. The other guy's canceled. I got a new guy and he's way better and cheaper. So that's pretty funny. So maybe a last piece of advice here before we transition towards the end of the show. What advice would you give to entrepreneurs about investing their time and their resources into training themselves and training their employees versus just straight up focusing on execution and being generally flexible in their business operations?
Well, one thing I do, like just for my self-improvement, I don't read a lot, but I do audiobooks. And so I work out, 2 hours every day. I always have an audiobook playing. Just learning what I need to learn, things that I can bring to my own company. Always do that. Always have that playing in your background. I don't listen to music, I listen to audiobooks while I work out. And then remembering when you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, you are the leader. So people, if you're listening to an audiobook and you're training yourself, your employees will just start doing it themselves too. They're always going to look up to you for direction. So always communicate with your employees for self-improvement. And you want them to be successful too. You really want your employees to surpass you and start their own business that they push off. You want to instill that same kind of entrepreneurship in your employees. And I try to do that every day. And I used to have a kid that worked for me for 5 years, and he always did well. And now he owns his own car washing business that he started.
Love
And that he says a lot of that came from me and pushing him to be an entrepreneur himself. And you want your employees to have that kind of mindset.
Yep, I agree. I'm pretty transparent when it comes to talking to my employees. And I say, my goal for you is I really don't want employees probably beyond the 7 years. I don't want the 15 or 20 year, guy warming a seat in the back. The exception to that would be here in just a moment. But I tell my employees, by 5 or 7 years, I should have trained you so well that you can't help but say, hey, I've got to go do something on my own. I get it now, and I want to go do something on my own. The other version of that would be I have, in that 7-ish year time period, created such a replacement for myself that you are now doing the me part of the business in my absence, and you have taken over that me part of the business so that I can go focus my venture on something. So in 5 or 7 years, you should be really looking to permanently transition your employees. And that's just a rough timeline. Some industries are more complex than others. Some require more certifications than others, et cetera. But you don't want people to stick around at your business forever. So Ryan, I want to ask you this. So we're getting to the end of the show here, and I just want to say people have obviously paid attention to what you're saying. If they wanted to get a hold of you, explore your businesses, learn more about you, how could they, again, everything from get into business with you to rent some property from you or buy retail, how do they get a hold of you, my man?
So our online retail is canoeclubusa.com. Our wholesale company is tridentwholesale.com. And then our Gordian Imports, just contact me at ryan@gordianimports.com. That's our whole ITAR, so any kind of international arms deals or anything like that. And then if you want clothing, saltyhoney.co is our clothing company. And that's for any of you, not men, but any of you women out there, if you want lifestyle bikinis or anything like that, saltyhoney.co.
I'm sure my wife will be exploring that as soon as she watches this episode. So awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're truly a gentleman and a scholar, and I appreciate all the advice you've given. To everybody out in the audience, I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to see the change and be the change. And we'll catch you here next time on Pivotal Change.